Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk about all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we review Transformers My Little Pony Issue 3. Charles tells us what he thinks about Transformers Battlegrounds, and it looks like we got a director for the next live-action Transformers movie. Today is Friday, November 27th, 2020, and this is episode 209 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that can't wait to see Creed fight Megatron in the next Transformers movie. I'm your host, Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team, Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Yo, Adrian, I did it.
Oh, hi, how you doing?
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
I don't get the reference, but okay, cool. Let's talk Transformers.
All right, you might want to check the media news section, Daryl, because that's your section. You should know what's going to be in there.
I read it live. Everyone knows I read it live.
All right. So before we get into the show, did want to mention we had a voice actor associated with Transformers pass away. So Kirby Morrow, who was the voice of Rad in Transformers Armada and Transformers Energon, and the voice of Hotshot in Transformers Cybertron, has passed away. He was 47 years old. So he's also, he did a lot of work in animation, so not just Transformers. So he did, he was Cyclops in X-Men Evolution. He was Goku in Dragon Ball Z. Michelangelo in one of the later Ninja Turtles cartoons. And Cole in Lego Ninjago. So lots
of... My kids
of,
just started watching that.
Yeah.
And he was also in a Stargate Atlantis as a live-action role.
Ah, okay, yeah. So condolences to his family. It's always sad to see the loss of and someone. Yeah, that's very young. I there's no information about the circumstances, but yeah, condolences to his family. All right, so as always, we start off the show by thanking all our supporters. So thank you to our Donatrons for continuing to support us. And we want to give a shout out to our newest Donatrons. Well, Nick he's not new, but he did up his pledge. So thank you, Nick, for contributing and adding to your contribution. And then our newest duly appointed supporter of the Transmissions podcast is William. Thank you, William, for joining the team. And make sure you get in and all the perks that your status affords you. So join us on the Discord and come hang out and everything. One of the perks, of course, of being a Donatrion is that you are automatically entered into all of our contests, including the monthly Toy Hacks $10 giveaway. And that is going to be coming next week. So you have still have until November 29th to enter in this month's contest. And we will do the drawing then. And then the results will be announced on December 2nd. So if you are a Donatron, you're automatically entered. And William, since you're a duly appointed supporter, you get two entries. So you've doubled your chances. And if you are not a supporter, you can still enter the contest just by sending an email to contest@transmissionspodcast.com and sending us a picture of the Transformers toy you would like to get some labels for from toyhacks.com. So good luck, everyone. We'll have the drawing next week. You can also help with the show by buying some merchandise from our Tee Public store. That is at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. And Black Friday is going on. Today is Friday as this show goes up. So they have a Black Friday sale. Everything is 35% off and t-shirts are $13. This sale is going on right now, just this Thursday and Friday. And also for Cyber Monday, Sunday, and Monday. So every day except Saturday this weekend, you can get a sale at Tee Public. So if you buy anything through our link, that helps out the show. So just go to transmissionspodcast.com/shop and then get anything from Tee Public through that link, and that'll help. And lastly, before we get into the comics and media topics, just want to remind you about Empire of Rust. So we had episode 37, Cybertron 7, dropped this week. And next week, we have the uncut version exclusive for our Donatrons. That will be out this Monday, November 30th. So everyone who is a Donatron can check out that basically director's commentary of Empire of Rust episode 37. But there's also another special thing coming out Monday, and this is for everyone. We've got a special side episode, and this is Empire of Rust, The Wild Strikes Back. And this features the character Wild Strike. This was a character who had been separated from the main group for a little while. And Wild Strike has a solo adventure. So you find out what he was up to in the time he was separated from the rest of the group. It's a short little solo role-playing session with just Wild Strike. And I'm sure it will be fun and exciting. That will be up in the main free feed of Empire of Rust. So everyone will get a chance to listen to that. So enjoy. A special, special Thanksgiving treat for everyone. Or I guess Cyber Monday treat. So enjoy. All right. Let's get into some comics news. So just one entry in comics news this week. We've got the solicitations for February 2021. So these are all the Transformers comics coming out then. We've got the Beast Wars comic. Beast Wars issue 1 is coming in February. So we woo-hoo. Mentioned... yes. Woohoo indeed. oh. Yes. So looking forward to that. So I think it's going to be like a retelling of the Beast Wars story. Curious how that's going to turn out. But Josh Burcham is doing the art there. So that's exciting. We've also got Transformers 28 in the main series that's continuing. And then the miniseries Transformers Escape issue number 3 that will be out as well. We've got some trade paperbacks. We've got the Back to the Future Transformers Back to the Future trade paperback. So after the series ended, the miniseries ended, you can get the collected book with all 4 issues. Then we've got also got the Transformers 84 Legends and Rumors trade paperback. And Simon Furman mentioned this when we interviewed him back in October. This was coming out. I think he said it was coming in November, but it looks like it was pushed back to February. But this is a little trade paperback that features the stories that are basically the backstory for Transformers 84. So we've got Transformers number 1, the Marvel Transformers number 1, U.S. Marvel Transformers number 1. We've got Transformers UK issues 9 through 12, and that is the Man of Iron story. And then Transformers 84 number 0. So all those are collected in this single trade paperback. And that's all the backstory you need to understand the Transformers 84 Secrets and Lies story that was just finished a few months ago. So be on the lookout for that. And remember, as Simon said, if you want more Transformers 84, please buy the issues that are already out and pick up these trade paperbacks and show IDW that there is a market for this. All right, so that's all our comics news. So let's move on to our review. So this week we are reviewing Transformers My Little Pony Friendship in Disguise, issue number 3. So this issue contains 2 10-page stories. The first is Pet Sounds, written by James Asmus, art by Jack Lawrence, colors by Luis Antonio Delgado, and letters by Jake M. Wood. And the second story is The Flying Foxtrot, written by Sam Maggs, art by Priscilla Tramontano, colors by Luis Antonio Delgado, and letters by Neil Uyatake. The editor is Megan Brown for the entire issue, and the consulting editor is David Marriott, and the group editor is Bobby Kernow. We had 2 covers. Cover A is Fluttershy making new friends with the Decepticon cassettes, including Laserbeak, Ravage, and Beastbox. And that is art by Tony Fleeks. And then the retailer incentive cover is Windblade at Rainbow Dash, getting ready to race. And that is by Priscilla Tramontano. So, Daryl, which of these two covers do you like?
Well, it is interesting because there's only the one regular cover, and then it's an RI cover. But I think I'm going to stick with the regular A cover. It's just a nice little, just regular kind of fun cover. It's, you know, mm-hmm. nothing too special, but nothing I don't like.
Cool. Jeremy, which cover do you like?
I mean, I don't have anything bad to say about either one, but I think I would probably choose the RI. I love, you know, Priscilla's art, and I think it's a nice mixture of, you know, more characters and seems more action-y.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I'd say I'm going to have to go with the cover A as well. So the Tony Fleeks, Fluttershy and her new Decepticon friends. I just think that's it's super cute and in theme with the, I mean, both covers focus on one story in the book. So, but I like this one just a tiny bit more. So. Cool. All right. Well, let's talk about the story. So the first story is Pet Sounds. At Pony Fluttershy's house in the middle of the forest, Discord, the shape-changing Draconiquis and Spirit of Chaos, is enjoying a tea party with his friend Fluttershy. Suddenly, they hear a loud noise outside the house. They look out the window to see a giant blue metal figure standing in a newly appeared smoking crater. The Decepticon sound wave has arrived on Equestria. All the friendly little forest creatures, birds, bunnies, squirrels, and chipmunks flee in terror of this strange alien visitor. Fluttershy tries to calm her little friends down and reassure them that this is just a new friend they need to make. Her optimism increases when Soundwave ejects his cassette minions, Ravage, Laserbeak, Ratbat, and Frenzy. After all, any pony who has pets can't be bad. Fluttershy flies out to greet Soundwave and his pets, ready to make new friends. Soundwave is more interested in determining whether Fluttershy is a threat, and that is a big negative. However, the shape-changing Discord is a different story. Soundwave recognizes the dragon-like Discord has some dangerous powers. So Soundwave immediately attacks with his blaster pistol. Soundwave orders his cassettes to handle Fluttershy and her friends while he focuses on the strange Discord creature. Discord easily evades the assault and sees his sparring with Soundwave as a fun game. Discord is no stranger to changing shapes and adopts multiple alt modes in his battle with Soundwave. Meanwhile, Frenzy tries to interrogate Fluttershy to figure out how best to conquer her world. Fluttershy doesn't really get the questions Frenzy is asking and instead focuses on making friends with all the animal cassettes. When Fluttershy takes out her boo-boo cream to treat some of the scratches on her new kitty friend Ravage's nose, Frenzy loses it. He angrily knocks the cream out of Fluttershy's hooves, pushing her to the ground. Time seems to stop as Discord and all the forest creatures realize their pony friend is being bullied. Discord is ready to fight back and defend his friend. He turns himself and all the forest creatures into armor-plated robotic versions and swarms Soundwave and Frenzy. Swayed by Fluttershy's kindness, even Ravage, Laserbeak, and Ratbat join in and attack their former Decepticon allies. As the animal bots close in, Frenzy realizes he's made a big mistake. He tries to apologize and asks if they can start over and not ruin a beautiful friendship. Soundwave agrees. Friendship superior. That is music to Fluttershy's ears, and Discord and the animals return to normal. Fluttershy is excited to have made new friends, and the Decepticons are happy to take a break from their mission of conquest, if only for a little while. Okay, and story two, this is the Flying Foxtrot. Up in the sky on a clear day, Rainbow Dash is relaxing on a cloud. Suddenly, a red and black jet buzzes by out of nowhere with a sonic boom, totally harshing her mellow. The newcomer transforms into the Autobot jet Windblade. The two flyers greet nicely and compliment each other's wings, but they're both fierce competitors and each claims to be the fastest flyer around. So the only way to settle this argument is with a race. Lots of ponies gather to watch Rainbow Dash and Windblade put their speed to the test. Even some other bots and equestrian creatures take part in the race, but the real contest is only between the two front runners. The checkered flag is dropped and they're off. Windblade and Rainbow Dash fly circles around each other. They trade back and forth for first place, neither one getting a lasting advantage on the other. Before they can cross the finish line, their race is interrupted by the Decepticons' Misfire and the Rainmaker Seekers. They've come to crash the party and prove that Decepticons are superior to everyone in every way. They close in, surrounding Windblade and Rainbow Dash, firing missiles from all sides. Rainbow Dash is amused by Misfire's cartoon villainy, but Windblade is concerned that the Decepticons outnumber them 2-1. Rainbow Dash suggests they do a flying foxtrot move. Windblade is clueless, but follows her lead. Rainbow Dash explains the strategy. Fool your enemy into thinking you're slower than you really are. Then when they fired all their heat-seeking missiles at you, turn on the speed at the last second. Misfire and the Rainmakers don't see what's coming, and Rainbow Dash and Windblade execute the move perfectly. At the last second, they fly right past their enemies, the heat-seeking missiles close behind. The Decepticons catch all their own missiles right in the face and are blasted out of the sky. Windblade and Rainbow Dash like working together and decide to call their race a tie. So that's two little stories out of the Transformers My Little Pony crossover. Again, they're pretty cute. I like the first story where, you know, all Soundwave's cassettes are treated like little, you know, friendly little pets. It just seems funny. And of course, Soundwave saying friendship superior. Just quite humorous, I will say. And the art in both stories was really well done. And I like to see Priscilla Tramontano returning. So her doing art in the second story, the Flying Foxtrot, that was nice. It was interesting to see Misfire get a prominent role here. It's, you know, he's not really the most well-known Decepticon outside of More Than Meets the Eye and the Scavengers. So having him here and the Rainmakers, that was an interesting choice for the villains. But that was a nice little story, too. So, Daryl, what did you think of these little this issue and these two stories?
Well, I think I agree with you that the first story was better than the second, but they're all pretty close. I think I like the fact that Discord seemed to have this special ability to kind of make anybody see, you know, whatever he wanted them to see. And that he could turn these little woodland creatures into, you know, robots and you know, even turning himself into a robot. It looked pretty cool. So the other story was fine. I mean, I suspend an awful lot of disbelief when reading these stories. One being that that Rainbow Dash can kind of sleep on a cloud. I mean, what is she, a Care Bear? I mean, this is
that's your problem.
That's my big problem with this. Yeah, was the cloud sleeping? I mean, it was great. I was reading the story and I was like, the horse and the blue robot with the knight's head. I was like, who are these guys? These look like they should be like some kind of Easter egg as there's somebody else. Right. And I know that there was a transformer that turned into a horse that, that was called
Battle Unicorn.
Is this Battle Unicorn? Is that what, who this is?
I don't know.
Mock Kick. That was a figure, but I'm looking at this thing thinking this looks like it should be something in the Transformers universe. And I'm missing it. And then the blue guy just looks cool. And I'm like, that looks interesting too. So I'm looking for this as an Easter egg, but it's probably not.
It it is listed in the wiki as Battle Unicorn on that page.
Oh, cool. All right. Right on. So that was kind of interesting. I like the little Easter egg then. The blue guy's not anybody then?
I'm still looking.
Okay. And the
Mock Kick. That's
Mock Kick? Oh, okay, yeah. Cool. Okay.
See, you were right.
So the other thing about this second story that I found interesting is the Seekers behind Misfire. I know these are the original from the first episode Seekers, so I can't remember who the yellow one is. It's not Sunstorm, but it's somebody.
It's Acid Storm. I forget. Yeah, Ion Storm. And what's the yellow one?
Yeah,
I don't know.
The yellow one is the one kind of looking at here, but he just appears disinterested in actually, you know, firing at these guys. In that one where they're all just sitting there firing, just, you know, the other two are all really, or the three of them, you know, are all really interested in, and the yellow one is just kind of, meh.
Yeah, it's Nova Storm is the yellow one.
Okay, that's it. Yes, okay. So yeah, that's that I found that kind of amusing, just that one panel. But yeah, they're fun stories. I don't take them too seriously. I don't expect them to kind of get referenced in any other continuity or apparently even in the next issue, but they're fun. So whatever.
The real question is, why is Beast Box on the cover and not in the actual issue?
True. That is the bet. That's the big question.
So, Jeremy, what did you think of this book and these two stories?
They were fun. Like Daryl said, it's not going to affect any continuity other than within its own story. And taken like that, it's fun. I don't really know who the pony characters are outside of what you get on the roll call page. But I thought the first story, I agree, it was the better of the two, but they were both fun. I liked seeing how, the animal tapes kind of eventually were won over to the pony's side. And, I don't know. It was a cute little story, and seeing Soundwave being, you know, attacked by robot bunnies is something I didn't realize I needed in my, in my life. The second one, I figured it was going to kind of go along the way that you typically see, like a Superman Flash race, where you're not going to get an outcome and something's going to happen mid race, you know, and that's what happened here. And it was fine. I too was questioning who the two other characters were. I didn't even think of Battle Unicorn until, you know, Daryl brought it up and I looked it up, but it's cool little Easter egg there.
Well, you need people like me around.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in particular, it's cool. They picked two horse transformers to be, be in the race here.
The only two horse transformers. I'm fairly certain they are the only two.
Well, I'm sure it's probably a hard transformation. You know, horse legs are so thin. I don't know. We'll see if we get a Kingdom Battle Unicorn.
Doubtful.
But yeah, but it was a fun story. The art was fine. I feel like in the second story, especially the pony characters got, like, they were a little bit better drawn than the Transformers, but they were fine. It's just all in all, I mean, it's a fun story. If it brings in new readers, great. If it, you know, in these these times we need fun stories. So I'm happy to have one.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that just look, when I opened the book and I saw this weird dragon creature thing, I was like, I just don't know anything about My Little Pony, because mm-hmm. I'm looking at this thing. I'm like, what is this thing? Why is this thing having a tea party with the pony? I mean, I guess there are lots more characters in My Little Pony that I'm not familiar with, because I had never seen thing before.
And it's like his head is kind of a dragon, a horse, a griffin, an eagle, or, you know. In the chat, Quattro saying it's basically Q from Next Generation.
Ah, okay. Interesting.
And it's voiced by the same guy. So that's awesome.
Is it really?
That's cool.
Wow. Okay. It just up to point in my book.
Put it at point one.
All right. Well, that is Transformers My Little Pony issue number 3. And I think we're clearing out our comic backlog. I think we've just got issue 4. That's the last issue we've got mm-hmm. left in our backlog. So probably get to that next week. All right. That'll do it for our comic review. And let's move on to Transformers Media News.
All right, in media news this week, I'm going to come back to one in a minute, but we've got, what's his name? Stephen Caple? Yeah, Stephen Caple Jr. is set to direct the next installment of Transformers live action movie. So that's pretty cool. He has... done the what is it you said he did Creed? I'm looking for it in the story here.
Creed 2.
Yeah, so that was that's cool. That was I've heard it's a good movie. I haven't seen it. I'm still on the, like, I haven't caught up on the Rocky stuff. I haven't finished the Rambo, first Rambo for me, and then Rocky, and then I got and then I'll get into all the new stuff. But
I will say it hasn't been officially announced. This is a Deadline report that saying that negotiations haven't even begun yet, but he's the top choice. Everyone is reporting it, like all the Transformer sites are reporting it as he has been selected. He has not been selected. Negotiations haven't begun.
Wow.
He is likely going to be selected, but I don't want us to say that it's definitive and then something happened. I want us to say everyone else was saying it happened, but we were right.
So you heard it here first. Jeremy has said that Stephen Caple Jr. is the new director of the next Transformers movie. No.
I'm saying I read the Deadline story that was linked on all these sites.
Well, there you go.
Anyway,
the next movie is slated to come out summer of 2022. I don't trust any dates right now. Nothing's in stone anymore. We'll get it when we get it. I mean,
and we'll like it.
Yeah, I'm just happy that they're not shopping. They're not driving dump trucks of money to Michael Bay's house anymore. So,
there needs to be a third party transformer of a dump truck of money.
I mean, why not? I'd be interested to seeing what this gentleman can do with it if he is in fact selected. That's give it to a different director. Sure, what the hell? I mean, what, we're at 8 movies now or some shit like that? might as well see what someone else can do with it. That's that piece of media news. The other, Charles, you got the chance to play Transformers Battlegrounds. We got our first impressions from our good friend John Forex Levengood, who did get the game. But Jeremy, he pulled some strings for you and got you a copy of the game. So what are your thoughts?
So yeah, so I got this on Switch. So thank you to Jeremy. And who gave it to it? Was it the publisher or was it
the publisher?
Okay.
Damn.
So thank you.
I pulled strings as media saying we were going to review it, which you're about to do now.
Yes. So I downloaded it. It's on Switch. Graphics are nice. I mean, Switch is not as powerful as PS4 or Xbox, but it's cartoony graphics, so it's, 3D worlds. It's good. I think it looks nice. It's definitely in the same aesthetic as the Cyberverse show. I think I'm not sure if all the voice actors are directly from the show, but it seems definitely Bumblebee and Windblade are the same voice actors. I think Grimlock is a sound alike. I think some of the other ones are sound alikes, but it seems like definitely Bumblebee and Windblade, and also Teletran X is your little like sidekick character, and that's in there too. So, it's very much, I think it's geared for kids who are familiar with the show and watch the cartoon. I do agree with John's assessment that it's a pretty simplistic game, as in terms of strategy games go, but, it's pretty enjoyable. I haven't gone through the whole game yet, so I can't give like a full review of the whole thing. I've only done like the first couple of missions. And it does start off pretty tutorial heavy, where they're just trying to ease you into all the mechanics for the game. But it's pretty simple. It's a turn-based strategy game. You're the Autobots. You take a turn with the characters you have on the field. Then all the Decepticons take a turn, and it's basically move and attack. And there's different mechanics. Like since you're in a cityscape, you can use buildings to cover yourself from the enemies attacking you. There's some other, some other strategy things that you do to play around with the characters and to make sure that, and characters have different powers, different weapons that do different things. Like Windblade uses her turbines to blast characters in front of them. So you can actually do like a powerful move that pushes characters back. And if they're standing in front of a building, if they get knocked into a building, that does extra damage. So you can use the environment in addition to the powers of each character to do different things. So for me, my main familiarity with strategy games is more at the kind of 1,000-foot level with Civilization. So I played a lot of Civilization, and over the years, but I haven't really done a lot of the like character-based strategy games like XCOM. So I don't have direct familiarity with that, but from what I played, it's a fun game. It's really not too much my speed as someone who prefers kind of for these character based games, more like action or, maybe fighting games. So it can be a little bit slow at times just because it's, just characters back and forth taking turns, kind of like, I guess D&D. And there's the transforming aspect doesn't really play much into it. I mean, you do get some animations when you move a character. If they move a significant distance, they will transform to their vehicle mode and then transform back when they get to their destination. But that's pretty much it for the transforming. And I guess Grimlock, he stays in dinosaur mode to, because that's his more powerful mode to attack. So, I'll try and unlock more and see how further along in the game I get. I would say the rules are simple, but it does provide some challenge. Like you can lose, if you don't manage your characters and don't pay attention to, what the enemy's doing, you can lose your challenges. So I would say it's simple it's simplistic without being simple. So, if you're a fan of this type of strategy game and you're a fan of Transformers, I'd say it's something to pick up. But if you're not a fan of both, if you're only a fan of one, it might be a hard sell. That's what I would say. So,
all right.
Those are my thoughts. Yeah.
All right. Cool. You could give it a rating though, out of, you said you haven't finished it, but if you could give it a rating out of 10, what would you say?
Okay, well, with just my first impressions, I would it'd probably just be about a six or so.
Okay.
I don't know if that would change the further I get into the game, but this type of game is not my favorite genre, so you know it's not ticking all the boxes for me.
All right.
Good enough. And we need to thank Outright Games for the review copy.
Awesome.
Yeah, thank you, Outright Games. Yep.
Right on. And that's all we got for media news this week.
All right. So we will finish up the show with some feedback. And we have a voicemail from our good friend, John 4X Levengood.
Hey guys, John 4X Levengood here again. So I'd been thinking about this for a while, and I wanted to tell you guys a story that might bring on further discussion. So when my oldest son was in high school, him and a friend were in a discussion about Transformers, and he had was able to use the knowledge I had passed on to him to bring further insight into the discussion, specifically about Grimlock and his role in the Marvel comics back in the day. You know, I know we all are fans that generally listen to this podcast and have various degrees of knowledge of the Transformers universe. But what about your significant others? What about your children? What knowledge have you passed on to them that they in turn have passed on to others to bring further knowledge and insight into the Transformers universe? And make that, you know, and my son came home really excited saying he was able to, he was able to use the knowledge that I passed on to him. So, you know, I'm just kind of curious about, do you guys have a story like that? Do you guys, your wives or husbands or for the listeners or, you know, children were able to be excited about the knowledge you passed on to them to be able to bring it into a discussion with some friends or coworkers or fellow students? So that's the question I'm asking. Talk to you next time. Bye.
That's a really cool question. I wish I had a really good answer, but maybe I'll try and think of something while I pass it on to Daryl first.
Oh boy. Okay. Well, so yeah, my daughter's 11 and she's been brought up with being surrounded by Transformers. She's she's asked any question she's had, she's been able to get an answer to. But as far as taking knowledge outside of the house and, you know, giving it to others, any class that she's had, like any in the school, like they all know that her father's a massive nerd and geek and, you know, has a large Transformers collection. Because my daughter is not very tactful with the way that she, you know, keeps family business in the family. She tells everybody everything. We have to work on that still. So,
So anything you want kept secret, you don't tell your daughter.
Essentially. Yeah. When she was little, she wrote a book where she took a whole bunch of Transformers stickers out and basically made a story with Transformers. I had taken a video of this and put it on YouTube, so it's out there. She was really proud of that. She took it to school. As far as, like you said, with somebody taking, with her taking her knowledge of her geeky stuff outside of the house, I'd say it probably translates more outside of Transformers. She knows an awful lot about, you know, Spider-Man, and Batman and, you know, all those other superhero genres that everybody seems to know more about now than we did as kids. So she's very, very well versed in that kind of language, and she can hold a conversation with anybody about that kind of stuff. Transformers is definitely a little bit more niche, but if she does get engaged with anybody about that, she can hold her own, I'm sure. She knows all the characters' names. Well, I mean, not all, but most. Yeah, I'm pretty satisfied with what she's capable of doing.
Cool. Jeremy, do you have any fun stories?
Not really that many that I can think of. I mean, my son is only 6. So, I mean, he'll go around like telling people like Megatron was bad, and then he realized that he was bad and he decided to be good. And, you know, because I have a picture of Autobot Megatron on my wall, and he knows Decepticons are bad, Autobots are good and stuff. So I had to kind of give him the Cliff's Notes, you know, version of how he's a good guy. But I don't know. He's more into Star Wars right now. Go figure. And I'd like to tell you all about the Mandalorian, but Daryl won't let me. but he's picked up a lot, I think. And, you know, I let him play with some of my, newer toys just to, you know, they seem to be, you know, able to hold up to a 6-year-old better than when he was like 3. And when I've shown them the, you know, the dead Optimus Prime, I don't tell him it's the dead Optimus Prime. I'm like, this is the alternate universe Optimus Prime, because we haven't gotten to the movie yet.
Uh-huh. No.
So I'm holding that because I do want to kind of get a raw reaction. I'm kind of mean like that.
You're going to have your camera out, your phone out, recording.
Yeah, it'll be like those videos where you see someone watching the reveal of Darth Vader to Luke. You know, I want to kind of have
what reveal?
That.
What do you mean? I don't understand.
There's a reveal.
What happened to Luke?
Go back to 1981. You'll figure it out. But anyway, I don't have too many stories right now just because of his age, but I'm sure as he gets older, he will tell everyone everything about Transformers once he gets back into it deeply.
That's cool. So I feel like I'm a bit of a I don't know. Maybe failure is not the right word, but maybe it is. So all my kids, I introduced them to Transformers when they were younger. They all grew out of it. Like my youngest is now 9. She barely plays with toys anymore. She's moved on to YouTube and Roblox, and like I sometimes she'll play with her dolls, but she used to come down and play with my Transformers, you know, have them do lots of different stuff, but she doesn't even do that anymore. And my son is my older son is 17. He actually was never into it, but that's okay. My younger son is 14. He got into it a little bit. He wanted to watch the cartoon with me a little bit when he was younger. We watched the movie together. We actually, when the movie was in theaters, was released in theaters a couple of years ago for the anniversary, we went to see that. And he played with the toys a little bit when he was younger, but he's grown out of it too. So, you know, no one stuck with it. They all will still go, like they went to see the Mumblebee movie with me and they enjoyed it. And, you know, so I guess they'll humor me, but it really hasn't caught on. But one thing that I am very proud of my wife, who, you know, if you've listened to this show for any amount of time, you know, she puts a lot of effort into getting Transformers themed gifts for me. And she does it. She does her own research and figures things out. The one thing that I was really surprised by was 1 year at the local convention, Steel City Con, they had Aaron Archer here. And I had heard about it, but I wasn't planning on going and forgot about it, or I just wasn't aware of it. But Aaron Archer was at the convention one weekend. I did not go to the convention that weekend. So I didn't see him, didn't meet him, but she went to the convention. She got She bought some artwork from him, got him to autograph it for me, and saved that as a Christmas present for me. You know, and I had no idea. Like, she had, you know, done all this, gone to the convention, you know, talked to him, met up with him, figured out that he was a big person in Transformers as a, you know, one of the toy designers for Transformers. You know, we did not have a conversation about Aaron Archer at any point. You know, where she would be like, oh, Aaron Archer, that's a name I should know. I mean, if you're not into Transformers, you have no idea who Aaron Archer is. But she figured this out all on her own and then got me this artwork with a personalized autograph and everything. So that she's really consistently surprised me.
Like the rock star among
you know. So yeah, she has no interest in Transformers herself, but she's interested. I guess she's interested enough in me to do this for me. So I appreciate that. Another thing she also got me an art print from Andrew Wildman when he was selling those giant art prints he did a couple of years ago. There was a big scene I'm looking right at it in my room here with Unicron and all the Transformers. It's like an homage to the Marvel Transformers 75 comic, because he did the art for the Marvel Transformers for and he's done other art for Transformers comics as well, Regeneration 1 and other stuff. Yeah, but he's a big name if you're a fan of Transformers comics, you know Andrew Wildman. But if you have no idea about Transformers, you have no, you know, you would not hear about this person. And she researched that he was selling these prints. She messaged him, contacted him, and bought a print and had it framed and everything for another Christmas present one year. So, yeah, this is just me bragging about my wife at this point. I guess the other thing, I mean, just being on this podcast, another thing I'm proud about is that we've gotten mentions in the Transformers Wiki from some of our interviews, like particularly with interviews with James Roberts, where we've pulled out some, you know, tidbits of information that add to deep background details on the Transformers comics that he's written, and then that those have made it into entries in the Transformers Wiki. So I think that's cool.
I mean, to be honest, can't we just enter them ourselves?
we could, but we didn't. So that's I think it's cool that a listener listened to us and then decided to update the wiki with that information. Yeah. That's cooler than us just doing it ourselves.
That's true. Yeah, that's good for us.
So hopefully those are interesting stories for you, John. Thanks for sending in that voicemail. That was a really cool question, and maybe, yeah, anyone else, if you're listening, maybe send us some stories if you have some similar stories to tell us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't mention anything about my wife is not interested at all. She tolerates it. That's about it. I believe at one point she did learn that a coworker was a fan of Transformers and was going to mention that that I did a Transformers podcast. She never did. She has absolutely no interest in progressing the podcast or help or doing anything like that. She allows me to have especially my time.
After your last week.
Yeah. So yeah, she has her thing. I have my thing, and then we have our things. So, yeah.
I guess along that vein, I have one more thing I could bring up. My wife, when we moved here to Wisconsin, like somehow discussion among like her coworkers that I had a Transformers podcast came up. And then one of her coworkers had like a friend that was big into Transformers. And like it came up among them. And then before it could get back to me that she knew somebody, he had contacted me and he listens to our show now and stuff. So you know, Brad that listens to our show, you know, we hooked up basically kind of through that. So that was fun. You know, I've now met, you know, a handful of local people that, you know, are big into Transformers. So it's really cool. And, being able to meet up and go to Dairy Con when you're able to go to conventions, that's always fun.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. Well, I think, that will end the show here. Again, we always end the show with our Masterpiece Donatrion shout outs, which is for our good friend, John4x Levengood. So thanks for sending that voicemail. And, we salute you as our continuing Masterpiece Donatrion. Thank you, John, for continuing to support us. And that'll do it for this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. Thanks everyone for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Later.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/Discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.